This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, visiting with Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, writes political economics. He's based in London. And he's in the eye of the storm now because what we have is an energy crisis in Britain and also a challenge to whether the winter is going to be affordable for families. I read from the Guardian newspaper in these last hours, Britain's energy crisis has been years in the making thanks to the Conservatives. This is a bill of particulars delivered against the now dominant party in Parliament. It reads, rocketing heating bills owing to dramatic gas price rises are just the latest chapter in Britain's mounting cost of living crisis. From food price hikes to increasing transport costs, this new bout of inflation is hitting essential goods, and that means the poorest people will be hit the hardest. So no one should be surprised that Boris Johnson has dismissed these problems. It goes on to speak gingerly of the prime minister. In addition to this, there is a carbon dioxide supply problem to the food industry, which a minister says will resume within days, but it is possible that we're going to need subsidies for people this winter. Joe, I stopped there because all of a sudden these crises are crashing upon London. What is your measure of the alarm here at the cabinet? Was this unexpected? Or did they prepare for this? Is this something that can be solved before the temperatures plunge?
No and no. I think that this has hit them completely by surprise, and so there doesn't seem to have been a good plan in place for how they would deal with any of these energy or other supply chain issues. And I don't think that there is really much realistic prospect that they are going to solve any of these difficulties before winter sets in, because I am sitting in London right now and I can tell you the days are getting much shorter than they were over the summer and also cooler. So it's only a short amount of time before people start turning on their central heating again. And I think that what has happened is the compounding of a bunch of factors here. I mean, I think that there's a global gas supply issue, which is hitting a lot of parts of Europe with rising gas costs right now. Couple that with the fact that the UK in recent years has invested a lot more in renewable energy sources than it has in grid reliability or any alternative generation. So sort of they find themselves without alternatives since it has been unusually windless the past few months. And then you have the compounding effects of all of the other supply chain problems that you and I have discussed before, especially in supermarkets with things like milk and other essential items. And so this is looking like it is going to be a very miserable winter for a lot of British households. And as a result, it is going to be a very miserable winter for a lot of British politicians.
We have this from Reuters. Britain is considering offering state loans. To energy companies that take on customers from firms which go bust due to soaring wholesale natural gas prices. This from the business secretary, Kwasi Kwarteng, for the cabinet within these last hours. So we're not only looking at shortages, we're not only looking at high prices and draining the resources of modest families or every family, but we're also looking at companies going belly up in the distribution of natural gases. Joe, this turns into a crisis if it's not solved. Is there right now, besides subsidies, are they talking about alternate sources of energy? Have they got a workaround?
Well, I mean, one of the things that's important to understand about a lot of these energy companies that are experiencing or facing potential financial difficulty is that precious few of them actually generate any energy. I mean, one of the structural problems that the UK has is that over the years, they've done a bunch of reforms ostensibly to liberalize the energy market so that if you're a consumer, you can go on to comparison websites and pick your price offer from any of a couple of, you know, a dozen or more operators, but they're retailers. What they are doing is buying energy wholesale from the two or three companies that actually generate any of it and then selling it on to consumers. And that is why they are getting squeezed right now. You are not seeing this kind of squeeze among the companies that actually generate the electricity. So this is not directly a supply problem, some of these difficulties, because the only people who are impacted are retailers, and there will be the same amount of natural gas and electricity that was there before, whether that's enough or not. The problem for the government is going to be shifting consumers from the companies that no longer can retail electricity or gas to the companies that can. And so that is the thing that is going to be potentially a challenging process and give Kwasi Kwarteng and a bunch of other government ministers heartburn.
The high prices of natural gas, the high prices of energy across the board. I understand that we exclude energy and food from core inflation, but this drains other resources that can be applied to food. Do you see the same increase of food prices because that has to be delivered and that costs gasoline or petrol to deliver? Do you see any change in the availability of food in the grocery stores or the prices paid in restaurants?
Well, it's funny because right now the food prices here do not seem to be escalating in the same way that there's food price inflation in the U.S. Instead, we have shortages. So you're probably paying about the same now for something like milk that you were paying a year ago. No inflation there, but also no supply. I mean, it's only within the past week that I've gone into the supermarket and been able to finally count again on getting milk every time that I go in. And yet now we have shortages in other things like breakfast cereals or mouthwash or soap for use in the shower or coffee, that sort of thing. So it's this weird situation where that doesn't generally seem to be reflected yet in the prices, but there is this availability problem. And I guess Americans and Brits could compare notes on which of the two problems they would rather have. Would you like to pay more but have food to buy, or would you like to pay the same amount but for nothing?
Supply chain, Joe, that's part of the food. And I mentioned, because I don't want it to get away from me, there is a British maker of fold-up bicycles, heavily in demand because of the return to the office in London and everywhere. These are neat little devices. I don't have the brand name in front of me, but in any event, in an interview, he said he can't get parts and the demand is outrageous, but they're out of the answers for their retailers and they're making demands from China that are not being met. One of the ways he's dealt with it is to raise prices by 5%. That's exactly what you've been profiling for months, Joe. Shortages lead to price increases, which lead to inflation. And in this instance, those shortages are driven by the supply chain friction of the pandemic.
Exactly. And, again, it is happening in many of the same parts of the economy. It's happening in the U.S. I can tell listeners that I am currently having the kitchen in my home remodeled, and I have run into some supply issues with things like the tiles that will go on the wall. I was chatting with my carpenter today, and he was telling me that he's having a new roof put on his home. The insulation that ordinarily would have a 1 week lead time, his supplier tells him now has a 6 week lead time, and hopefully it's not going to get even longer than that. And I think that you just multiply that over not just construction, not just food, but so many other parts of the economy. There are already worries about whether there are going to be enough toys on the shelves for people to do their Christmas shopping for the kids this year. We're getting into that time of year. So it is a lot of stress for households because you don't know what's going to be available to buy. You don't know when it's going to be available, and you don't know how much it's going to cost you. And so no wonder consumers are starting to show signs of stress when you ask them how they're feeling about the outlook.
We have less than a minute, and I want some good news here. From November, the U.S. is open to tourists from the United Kingdom who are vaccinated and prove a negative test. And that means Oxford AstraZeneca, which is a dominant vaccine used in Great Britain. Is this welcome news in London, or, they can't get to it because there's so many other problems? We have about 30 seconds, Joe.
Oh, no, it's huge news here economically because it's going to facilitate a lot of business travel and also just on a human level because you have a lot of families and friends who haven't been able to see each other, including Britons and other Europeans living in America who do not have green cards and were not able to leave the U.S. because they wouldn't have been allowed back in. So I think that this is fantastic news for both sides of the Atlantic.
Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics for the Wall Street Journal editorial page. He's based in London. This is CBSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBSI on the World with John Batchelor.